Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heart of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. I'd like to begin this podcast by inviting you to follow or subscribe using your favorite podcasting app or finding it online at runbuildgrow.com. I'd love it if you also, while you're online or while you're in your podcast app, leave it a rating and review if you are able to do so. I know that they accept them on Apple Podcasts and Spotify mostly, but if you would rate and review the podcast, help others to notice how much you enjoy it. If you leave a review, I will shout it out on the next podcast, and it's great to always see the how much you are loving these episodes and even what you're loving about the episodes. Make sure to also be sharing the podcast with your running community as we all continue to grow on the run and beyond, and I would love to invite you to become part and help support the Run and Rev Run Club. That is this group that I am trying to build that is a part of this network of Run, Build, Grow podcasts, of my On a Long Run blog that I have, and some other things that I am working on in the background related to both running and self-care. And so I'd love it if you would help to support that work. You can do it with a one-time or a monthly donation over at buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. If you love this episode, this interview that I'm about to do with, here you go, Rainey Nikolosky, then go over, leave a tip, drop just a one-time donation, or you can become a regular member with a regular monthly donation. And so I'd love it if you would find it to help to support this network, this club that I am helping to grow so that we can all grow on the run and beyond together. So with that, as I said, today's episode is with Rainey Nikolosky, who is cycling off of as president of the Richmond Roadrunners Club. And you'll remember her from last week's episode with Nakia and from episode 2 that I had with Chris Mason. And this woman is amazing. She has done so much to help to build the running community in Richmond, Virginia, not just on the heels of Nakia, as we heard last week, but even to give the space for them to be able to do amazing and new things with the Richmond Roadrunners Club. And so we dive through her story, how she got involved in running, how she got involved in Richmond stuff, and even how that has impacted her journey to be able to give back. So let's jump in and let's hear this story. Welcome into another episode, everybody. Hopefully everybody is doing well today. We're keeping up with the Richmond theme going on here. I'm joined by Rainey Nikolosky. Rainey, how you doing today?
Great. Can't complain.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just based off of a lot of our other Richmond folks, you are a fairly well-known person in the Richmond Roadrunners and all across the area. And so I don't think anybody's going to be surprised, but where we always love to start here, Rainey, what is your community? And what makes your community awesome?
Well, as you said, I've kind of known around Richmond. And so I think it's pretty fair to say that the Richmond running community is kind of where I belong first and foremost. I was accepted in about a decade ago and haven't looked back since.
And so what do you think for you makes this Richmond running community so great? I know it's one of the only running communities that you've really ever known, but what makes it so great? What makes it awesome that you continue to be a part of it?
I think it's just how accepting and how like just diverse it is. I when I came in, I had absolutely no running background whatsoever. The kind of person that skipped the mile in gym class, however I could possibly do it. And there, I was never judged or nobody ever looked down on me or anything like that. And I think it's just been this like relationship building experience from day one that you want to keep repeating into perpetuity. Like I think I get excited every time there's an opportunity to pay it forward, the kindness that was shown to me when I started.
And so let's back up to the beginning of that running journey. What was it that got you into running? What started that spark, kind of got you going?
Yeah. So I like to think it's an interesting story, but it's probably not. I was a cigarette smoker for about a decade and was really struggling to quit, as most people do. And I had been quit for about 2 weeks and was like really, really having a hard time with it. And one of my friends was watching the Boston Marathon, and that was the year that the bombing happened. Mm-hmm. And I found myself kind of in this like rabbit hole of watching everyone's stories and seeing how everyone dealt with the trauma and the difference that their life would be after that. And I found myself almost ashamed that I was taking for granted my body as a gift. Like, I was perfectly healthy. I was trying to better myself. And so what way to be a little bit better than to run for those that couldn't run anymore? So I kind of rallied a group of mommies from a group that I was a part of. And we signed up for a race at Pocahontas, and it kind of started there. And a little bit after that, I found an accountability buddy in Chris Mason, Yang.
Yeah.
And he and I started doing a bunch of races and then the half marathon training. And then it's all history from there.
Yeah. And we heard from Chris in his episode, the amount of impact that you've both had on each other. Like you say, Yang, you're the yin to his yang, kind of helping and balancing all of that out. And so what was it like being accepted, being welcomed, being brought into this community? Because I think for a lot of listeners, there's going to be some empathy, some understanding into that beginning, wanting to get into better shape, wanting to make healthier habits, wanting to be connected to something that really sparked a level of pain and hurt that needed healing in your life. And so what was it like in those opening, say, months and even years for you coming in to this community, to begin to be welcome, to begin to be accepted, to begin to be a part of it?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is just that you walk in that very first day and there's just a bunch of people who are excited you're there, even though they have no idea who you are. They want to hear why you're there. They want to be a part of your journey. I think those first few months, I found myself almost, you know, just really embarrassed that I was slow. I like couldn't make it more than a quarter mile. I had to walk a lot, but I never found anyone that made me feel that way at all. Everyone was very, I don't know, just like this vibe of like, whatever you're doing, it's right. And I want to do it with you. And I think that's that community that you find in Richmond, is that no matter who you are or how you enter into the running world, you're in. It isn't like an exclusive club. It isn't a clique. Like, we're all in this together, regardless of whether you're front of the pack or back of the pack. I've had extremely fast runners run with me at all stages of my running career, and I am not extremely fast. So it feels almost just really welcoming in a way that I'm not sure I've ever experienced before this.
Look around at those around you and the role that they've played, or even maybe where they haven't been involved, and think to yourself, reflect on what's gotten you to that point. Reflect on what's gotten you there. Who are those people? What are those situations that have really had that impact on your journey? You've talked about it being the last 10 years now, almost, and 13, the Boston bombing. And so as you're looking over the course of those 10 years, what are those impactful events that are really helping? Because the narrative in this is building to you not just being a part of the running community, but you actually taking a role of leadership in the running community. What are some of those things that really, those events that really start to instill a love and care for the community that you're a part of? What are those things that really help to make you feel not just welcome, but as if like, this is something that I want to now give back to?
I actually have a really, really good story for you.
Yeah, there you go.
So back in 2016, I started training for my first marathon, which I never thought I would be able to do. I had gotten run over by a trailer when I was a teenager and always assumed that at a certain point I would, you know, the tendons or ligaments or whatever would start to kind of come undone and I would not make it. But I was like, well, I'm going to give this a try. So started training for the marathon, worked really, really hard for, 6 months, and then got to the Shamrock race. And in the middle of the night before the race, I was sick to my stomach nearly the entire 6 hours leading up to it, to the point where instead of the start line, I went to the ER. So to this day, we don't know if it was a norovirus or food poisoning. None of my family got sick, so I'm going to say food poisoning. But the point is, I did not make it to that marathon. Was pretty upset. And the spring isn't fully flush with marathons, so I didn't really know what to do next. Well, my friends in the running community knew what to do next. I had a pair of friends. I call them the Lizzes. It's Liz Gunn and Liz Schoenfeld. They, behind my back, put together a makeup marathon for me with about 70 other people. There were water stops. I had people running with me the whole time. I mean, they had my favorite Gatorades. Like, there was an anthem at the beginning. Like, it was incredible. We ran the Richmond Marathon course, and it was just one of those things where people show up for you in a way that you just will never be able to repay.
And, oh man, I recognize so much of that story in stories around the run club that I help lead. And man, that impact, like, it really is. Like, I'd love to explore that a little bit more, because that impact of knowing someone in our club, and she'll, and, you know, she could talk about it too. Man, I mean, for those around you to really, like, come in and say, we know you couldn't have your day, and to see that work you put in for those 6 months. And it's like, we don't want that to go to waste. We still want you to have an opportunity to experience this, and how that felt for you. And so as you're continuing on this journey, like, what are those feelings bringing up for you? I mean, where did they drive your running journey from there? Cause that's 2016. That's only a few years after that. We're here in 2024 now, and it's still this impactful event. And for listeners, I mean, there's a lot of emotion going on for Rainey right now. And so clearly it's an emotional thing, and I can understand it having helped someone through this. And so what are those feelings that's down there at the heart of that, that's helping to continue to impact this journey?
I think it's just that feeling that you never have to feel alone. Like, I was, obviously I'm still emotional about it, but I was in my feelings and just so upset for just weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. And the whole time everyone was building a way to embrace me and help me move forward. And I think knowing that is even, like, I guess just on the forefront of everyone's brains, like, that makes it so that I want to do that for everyone else. And I think that was just the driving factor for the last few years, is that I know how I felt with this kind of support. How can I make sure to give that to anyone that I can give it to? Because we all have so much to give. Support doesn't, like, it's not pie. Like, it doesn't go away. And so I just find myself just driven to keep helping people feel like I felt that day. Well, and still, like you see, I get tears now. Like, it was one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. You know, aside from the kids and wedding and all of that, but
yeah.
But sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish that statement.
I was just gonna say, just a feeling of true belonging.
And so what becomes. And so to ask it this way, what becomes that first marathon after 2016 that you toe that line?
Shamrock, actually. I went back for take two.
And so what does your journey on that start line, as well as the support that you receive when you have this race where you don't get to the start line and your community creates a start line for you? And they make a race for you, and they surround you with love and support, letting you, like, this is an amazing accomplishment. It doesn't deserve to go to waste because on that day you weren't feeling well or whatever. So now you have that experience, and now you come back and you don't let any of that diminish your journey, and you come back to a new start line. And what is going on in your mind? What is happening? What does this part of your journey look like when you hit that Shamrock line the next time?
I felt like I could do anything because that support it felt like it followed me to that start line. I have to say, the name of the race that they did for me was called the Rainy Check Marathon, which I thought was very cute and clever. But that whole race, I thought about how special it was to have experienced my first one with everyone and then have that moment for myself in that second race. To just reflect on, sorry, my cat is like trying to run in, just to reflect on what I was doing.
And you're running the race, and I'm sure a lot of folks from Richmond are there, even at Shamrock, but, and I know your participation in Richmond, down here in Hampton Roads, we don't necessarily do the coach support on the course as well as they do it in Richmond. And so as you're continuing your running journey, you come from Shamrock. I know. So have you done the Richmond Marathon? I can't remember.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. So you've done the Richmond Marathon. I was trying to remember. I knew you'd done the half a couple of times, but so you've done the Richmond Marathon. You come onto the course, you've done these other races, and all along the way, you have received all of this support and you've received all of this encouragement and all of this positivity in all of these different ways to continue you on this journey, right? The community has never wanted to squash anything that Rainey does. And it's not individual to Rainey, because I think we've heard both from Chris. By the time people listen to this, they'll heard from Nakia. They'll heard from a lot of these other people that within the community, it's like, you receive all of this support. What becomes the time when you say, it's time for me to give back?
I think it was definitely right away. I started coaching for the half marathon, taking a year off here and there, but have basically done it for the last 8 years. And every single time that I'm able to get to that Richmond half marathon course and help people across the finish line. And it doesn't even have to be people on my team, but people that you see on the course that are struggling, that are having a tough day. It feels like everything that has built up inside me from the community supporting me, I've been able to like put back out on that course. And that just feels phenomenal.
What are some of those training tips that you're giving half marathoners, especially maybe first time half marathoners, as they're preparing for, I mean, at least for me, I've kind of say that I have two starts to the half marathon. I have the half marathon that I ran at 17 years old, hot-headed kid, thought he could do anything. That unfortunately was not disproven for him because he made it seem like he felt like it was a cakewalk, but either way, then the 20-something-year-old Andrew, myself, who comes into the half marathon and really gets humbled by it. And to say that like a lot of that half marathon training I did by myself, and I use the word training loosely considering there might have been like 5 or 6 days of training leading up to it. But let's play the game for a second. Maybe someone listening to this is thinking about, I want to tackle that 13.1 distance. What are some of those things that you're telling folks? You've been doing this for 8 years now, and you've been helping folks, and you've been on the course, you've been all throughout the long run trainings, the way they do in Richmond. So what are some of those things that you're helping these folks to know, to learn, to understand? And then also, obviously the automatic rhetorical answer is a lot of this is probably fed from your own journey. And so, what kind of information is there, but also maybe some of the stories that you're continuing to echo to some of these folks?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, I would be remiss if I didn't say get fitted for shoes. Yeah. I think most of people's injuries really happen from like shoes that they found in their garage or a pair that their friend said was amazing or just the most haphazard version of a shoe. Like I know running shoes are expensive. I buy a lot of them, but what's even more expensive is medical bills. So I think to aid you in your journey on this, like getting fitted for shoes is the number one thing. And then aside from that, I think when you get into running and to having goals and setting your mind to something, it's really that like can do positivity and not like toxic positivity, like, oh, everything's great. Mm-hmm. You know, things cannot be great, but you have to remember that you can do it. Like, there's no reason you can't do it. And I think a lot of people are their own worst enemy out on the race course by really starting to get into their own heads about like, oh, this is too hard, this is too difficult. At the end of the day, unless you're number one, you're not winning money. So let's go at the pace that's reasonable for you and get it done. Let's see.
How often... Keep going.
I was like trying to think of other tips. It really is so person specific. You find people that are trying to follow training plans that professionals follow. And that's another thing. Like, professionals rest for the rest of the day. Like, we have jobs, yeah. We have families. Like, you have to remember that your recovery is going to be a little different. And that if you have to edit a plan, that's not an embarrassment. That's not you being lesser. It's you being reasonable as to the limitations of your life.
How much of coaching has bled over into your personal journey? How much of coaching has been, I've noticed in coaching that, again, it's one of those things where now the circle of life continues, right? You receive when you come in, then you start to give back, then you receive again. So on the flip side of that, you're teaching a lot of these folks and you're helping them understand, what does it mean to conquer 13.1? Or what does it mean to balance running in life? And so maybe on the flip side of that, what are some things that you're taking away from this coaching experience?
Yeah, I think hearing everyone's stories and getting a reminder of kind of why we all do this, and that collective whole. Who are we as a community? Who are the people around me? What is everyone's journey, and how do I hear that and learn from that on my end? I think even as the coach, I can't assume that I know more than anyone else. I'm just there to be a support person. And I think that a lot of the participants have so much to offer, and they don't even realize it. I think listening to people's tips about how they track their miles, how they fuel, how they do things like that, I think there's always things that I pick up from participants that I use in my own running for when I have my coach, which I do this year.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what are your goals on the run? We'll kind of sit there for a second, and then I do want to move us to Richmond Roadrunners. But I mean, what are your goals on the run? Like, obviously, you continue to coach, I would assume. But what are your goals? What do you want to see happen to Rainy?
Well, so this year I am after a 50K PR. I did a 50K a couple of years ago with a group, and it was so fun. I feel odd saying like a 7-hour run is fun, but we're going to go with
no,
it.
No, it's not. It's not.
And last year I signed up for a 50K, and just my season kind of fell apart, and I wasn't able to train, and I just went ahead and did it. And it was fantastic. And I had so much fun, but I was very ill prepared. So like the next day it was like trying to climb a mountain, walking up the stairs and things like that. And so this year I am training like a reasonable person for a 50K and going to come out actually prepared and feeling really good. And I'm not looking to like break any records or anything like that, but I just want to come away smiling and be able to walk up the stairs the next day.
That's a tall goal, because I mean, even 50K. No, I think we got that from Chris's notion. Y'all are those ones who like to go on the longer journeys of running. So, but and then I think that we can also begin to hear and see how the community, especially in Richmond, where you are, gathering around you is helping you, because we have heard from, I mean, Hearing you introduced today is not the first time that my listeners are hearing about you. They'll have heard about you many, many times by now, because I think that there is this impactful thing of what you are offering to the Richmond community, and not just looking at what's been received, but even just the life that it has offered you, both you and your husband, mind you. I mean, I thought about doing like a co-interview, but I really just wanted to get Rainey's story out here. I try and get Kyle on a little bit later. And so let's follow this through, because a lot of this builds up and builds up and builds up. And again, Nakia was on the last podcast. So Nakia is, and so my listeners have already heard the story. Nakia just, she needs a break from the work that she has been doing with the Richmond Roadrunners Club. And that, for those of you unfamiliar by now, Richmond Roadrunners Club, this is the primary run club that occupies Richmond. For those of you in Hampton Roads, kind of like Tidewater Striders, it's the primary USATF RRCA run club. that you join when you get in. They organize a lot of the smaller races and work with sports backers and everything. And so Nakia is stepping down as president and she needs a break. I imagine that there was, I hope, knowing that you took charge, there was a lot of thought. There was a lot of batting back and forth. There was a lot of everything that went into the decision for you to step up and to then take charge to become the president of the Richmond Roadrunners Club. And so I want to explore that. What was that journey like? I'm sure you talked to Nakia. I'm sure you had conversations with her. What did that look like for you to take that step forward? And what was going on in your mind as you're reflecting on that?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say Nakia is actually my coach. So obviously I trust her whole body. But she gave me a call when I was working at my previous role. I basically said the same thing, like, I need a break. This organization, which for those that don't know, Richmond Roadrunners Club is a all-volunteer organization up until May 1st. The first executive director will start. But it's all volunteer, which means that the board is a working board. And that means that the president role is basically the executive director of the organization. It is a incredibly large ask of a volunteer. Even with the devoted volunteers as the race directors and folks coming in to help manage volunteers and help put together things, it is a huge role. And Nakia also had to do it during COVID, which I can't even imagine, because needing to pivot something that's an in-person thing, it's been running like a well-oiled machine because of great leadership in the past. Everything needed to take a shift. And so she was tired, needed a break, and was like, Rainey, I know you work in nonprofit. I know how this operates. Can you do this? Like, is this something that you feel like you can take on right now? I was very nervous because I already had a full-time job. And to say that being on the leadership team for the board is nearly a full-time job is not really an exaggeration. It is basically everything you do in your free time at that point. But so I definitely went back and forth wondering whether or not it was something I could do, and finally agreed to do it. She stepped down in, or not stepped down, I guess the changing of the guards happened in December of 21. So January of 22, I hit the ground running. You spend a lot of time catching up and learning things, which was one of the reasons that hiring an executive director was such an important thing, is there having 2-year shifts, there's so much to learn before you can even get started. And by the time you're actually started trying to put together things and trying to improve things, it's done. So we hit the ground running, and it was a whirlwind. There are so many great invested volunteers that have been working so hard. And it gave me kind of even more insight to the running community that I hadn't even had the privilege of really like understanding or acknowledging. I think, realizing just how much the George family does in Richmond is just astounding. you realize that for most people, they are feeling kind of the same way that I was feeling, that they want to do something for the community and they want to keep it going and will sacrifice their own goals and running and everything to keep things going. And I obviously the last 2 years did quite a bit of that myself. I'm trying to keep up with all the different things that I had assigned myself up for. But now Nakia is going to come back and do it for 2 terms. I think that is going to be incredible. That is how it goes. And we have the executive director.
And what had been sort of your hopes? Like, I know when you took it on, there was a very intentional kind of concept behind Nakia coming out to you. You work in the nonprofit sphere. So you bring this sort of understanding of what it means to run something that, as a pastor of a church, I kind of understand the nonprofit sphere where you're doing a lot of work and you kind of have to make it work without necessarily all of the funds you might need. And sometimes that means a lot of creativity. And so what were some of your hopes as you kind of took on this role, knowing that you probably would be in it for what, 2-4 years it's been now.
So I guess my hopes were to make sure it was operating in the most functional way possible. I think a lot of people don't understand that the Richmond Roadrunners Club is a nonprofit organization, and that is kind of a huge loss to the organization, because folks don't know that they can donate, that they can participate in growing it and making it better. And then I think kind of streamlining what the organization is doing with the demands on the volunteers. I think it's interesting to look around to the other clubs around the country and realize how many fewer races they're doing. And like a lot of them have executive directors already. And so we were like clinging on to doing almost 20 races a year with no paid staff except for a part-time accountant. And that was just mind-blowing to me. And so I kind of spent the first year, I like to observe and make sure, you know, I'm not like changing something that's been done in a way for a certain reason. And then the second year, I kind of came back with more of that purpose around like hiring someone, trimming back the races a bit. I think, you know, you start finding yourself doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. But it at some point, things need to be sunset, you know, when the cost gets too high, when the interest becomes low. And I think there's innovation that's hiding, and ready to come out and have the club be more creative and create some new things and create some new energy around some of the races that we've had a long time. I think, you know, Frostbite was a perfect example this January. It had been done the same way over and over, and it was a fantastic race and beloved. But once the police costs started going up, the course needed adjusting, like it was time to innovate. And I think Chris and Mara did a fantastic job taking it to a new level, because there was a reason to. And you know, so my role in it, I wanted to kind of give that opportunity, like shove things off a cliff a bit to be like, hey, this is not working. Why are we doing this? I, you know, like the toy run was successful for a gazillion years, had to be moved out of Innsbruck, and then just never kind of found its footing again, especially after COVID. And then, you know, with the Sports Backers race in December, oh my gosh, I can't think of what it's called now.
Oh gosh, the Tacky Light run?
Tacky Light, thank you. And then the Runalodka run, like there was no reason for us to be doing a race that weekend. We were just competing with friends in the area. So what resources were we pouring into that race that we could have been either assisting with the other two in the area or putting on something, putting more into our turkey trot or something like that, that wasn't competing with like our community. So.
And I mean, I think that there's a lot to that. I think one of the first ones that I really experienced from you all, only because I was trying to plan to make my journey back up to Richmond for, it was nothing against Monument. I just didn't have the money for Monument this year. I was going to try and come back up for Carytown. But I think it goes to show, that was one of the examples that I saw, and I had to remind myself of all the things that go into it. And now here in Hampton Roads, I think we're starting to see the after effects of that, of having to either transition races or transition events that we long thought, I guess you could call it like holy and sacred for our running community, but also to like give birth and life to something new. Here in Virginia Beach and Rock and Roll couldn't work on anything new, so they had to get rid of the Rock and Roll half. That gave birth to this new race from J&A, the VB 10 miler. Then down here, we've had some disruptions with the Elizabeth River Run, which is like a really big 10K, and I'm trying to get that right. And so even where there is kind of that understanding of there are those hard decisions that sometimes need to be made, I think we can see that opportunity for newness and even for greater community. So as you're coming to the end of your presidency now, and you and Nikki are transitioning or have transitioned, I probably like it all probably blurs together at some point in time, and you move into this new role. And I say new role as it's probably about the same role you had before. Now you're, if I'm not mistaken, you're a member now, and you don't hold an executive position. And so has being the president impacted the way that you are now viewing what is happening in the life of Richmond Roadrunners? And is it impacting the way that you are engaged with the Richmond Roadrunners as a community, and even by extension, some of the other communities or some of the other clubs and groups and training teams that are in Richmond?
Yeah, no, I think seeing it from the inside, you definitely have a really good understanding of how much it takes and the types of tough decisions you have to make and the types of adjustments you have to make and just how flexible you have to be. I think in my head, good example is the Frostbite race again. Mm-hmm. They had to shorten it. And I found myself being like, well, that's how it goes, you know? Whereas I think it's so easy to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Like, this is terrible. But at some point you start to understand that like there are things you can't control and things that you can try your best to do. And also you're all volunteers. Like, you mm-hmm. know, it's, you're doing the best you can for really the reward of just helping your community. And I think that's a great reward and obviously worth plenty for the amount of people that are willing to step up like that. But I think it's really given me that backfill of like, I guess grace, a lot of grace, in races, in things like that. And so I find myself as a participant being just happy to be there and happy to see the fruits of someone's labor.
And so moving forward, you and Nikia both mentioned this new transition, this new phase for Richmond Roadrunners, working under an executive director, obviously still having a board since it is a nonprofit, but being able to have a paid staff person who can help to do a lot more of the day-to-day work, I imagine. And you're transitioning out of your role as president into being a member, but I think we could all name a very engaged member within the community. And so as you look into the future, as we're recording it, this weekend is Monument Avenue. It literally is one of the best races just because of the environment and the atmosphere. And then obviously Richmond is one of America's friendliest marathons. There is so much birth for life, for just joy in the Richmond running community. What are your hopes moving forward for the city of Richmond as a running community, for the Richmond Roadrunners, for the work that Sports Factors does, for the work that Lucky Road and Fleet Feet and some of the other running stores in Richmond? What's your hope for this community that has been growing now for a while and is starting to really like bloom and show the fruits of their labors?
I think my hope is that it just continues. Like I hope that we're able to build a really cohesive like race schedule where there's something for everybody. But while I enjoy the longer distance, that isn't everybody's cup of tea. And I think having the options to do different things and to be different places and to participate in different things, having the opportunity to be a volunteer and not feel obligated to continue or something's not going to happen, or to be able to participate on your own terms. Like I'm really hoping that with this new executive director, we'll be able to really smooth out kind of Richmond Roadrunners' place in the calendar in collaboration with Sports Backers, because I think nothing's going to work if we're competing, because it's not a competitive industry. Like the chips will fall where they may. But I think, you know, building up that community where there is a spot for everyone. I think looking at like We Off the Couch and groups like that, where they're taking everybody and like really holding them close. And I want to encourage other groups like that. I want to be a part of making sure that nobody feels alone and feels like they don't belong, because there's one thing you can learn about the Richmond running community. It's that everybody belongs.
And I think it's such a great spirit to have. And it's one that honestly, I think it's present in a lot of communities, and sometimes people think it might be a little harder to notice, but I think especially in Richmond, it's like your journey. It's like Chris's journey. It's like Nakia's journey. It's like a lot of journeys that I hear from people, especially in Richmond. And I think it is because I've mentioned this for myself. Richmond was where I rediscovered that love for running. It was Troy inviting me to run groups. It was I was never part of the sports backer training teams, but it was like when I drove into Richmond and I was training with Race Team RVA and Dan and all of them, it was the sports backers training teams being right there because we're all running together, welcoming us in and helping us and supporting us and all the SAG stations that it was like, we don't care who you're with. Just if you need some water, come get some. But is that welcoming experience? And I think that there's a lot to be said for a community that can kind of foster itself in that beginning to continue to, or even not to continue, but just to never forget that. Because I definitely think that that's something that makes a lot of running communities special is the way that they do a lot of that work. So let's jump into these end of podcast questions. I think the first one we might have already answered in the course of the podcast, but I want to see if it's different. So what is your favorite distance to run or to race?
Oh, it actually is. It is different. My favorite is the 8K.
Okay. All right.
I love a good, like 10K just feels like a mile too far and 5K feels a little too hard for some reason, but 8K is just that great. You're warmed up, you're ready and you have a couple miles to like really punch it for the end.
What is your favorite post-run food, snack, meal? What do you want to eat after you've done a good long run or even done a race?
Oh, if you ever run with me, you'll know somehow we talk about food literally all the time. I don't even know how it happens, but we end up at food. I think for me, we love a good sheet stop, like liquid cheese with, you know, French fries or some kind of like anything covered in liquid cheese, honestly.
All right. What is something or someone recently that has motivated you on the run?
I feel like that would be my Wednesday group. I mentioned that I felt like I was doing so much, but I never gave up my two early morning runs, which feels very strange to be like my 5 a.m. runs. I didn't stop, but the Woodlake Wednesday group, we do run walk on a 5 mile loop and they're willing to go slow. They're willing to walk. They're willing to do it all. And I just a shout out to them for being willing to meet me where I was.
And then lastly, and I don't know, it probably is the best question of the bunch, but Rainey, why don't you give our listeners a reason to join their local run club or group?
You didn't know the friends that you could have until you joined a run club. I have bonded with so many different people that I would have never, ever encountered had it not been for running. And we've vacationed together. We've been to vineyards. Book clubs, all sorts of things. I think there is a bond and a relationship in running. And it isn't even necessarily the people that are going to run the exact same pace as you. I think if you're looking for relationships, you'll find them.
Oh, man, that's so great. Thank you so much, Rainey, for coming on, for joining, for telling your story. I'm sure this is one that some listeners have been waiting for, considering all the publicity and press you've gotten. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.